Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, our world-building podcast, where we throw a spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's menu is all about magical tattoos. I think these are super cool. Yeah. I love this. I've been pushing for this idea for so long. It's a subsection of body mods, which was another episode that I have been pushing for since the very first day that we started talking about building this podcast.
Yeah, this is not like a huge trope. This is just an idea that Ethan loves, and
I just think it's neat.
He just thinks it's neat. And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to build our ideas around magic tattoos because it is a concept that exists, but it isn't a well-trodden trope.
No,
this isn't like elves and dwarves and orcs and shit.
No, it exists. There are a couple examples. So there's two examples from Marvel Comics from X-Men. One is, I forget, there's a mutant whose mutant power, it was from the Age of X-Men where they were like coming up with weird powers, where his mutant power was that if he tattooed you, you would get the power associated with whatever symbol he tattooed on you. So there was one guy, he tattooed the nuclear hazard symbol, and then that gave him radiation powers. And then there was another guy, he tattooed the symbol of the Phoenix Force, like Jean Grey's symbol, and so that gave him faux Phoenix Force powers, which was very cool, little OP, but very cool to do as a concept. So there's one idea there. There's another mutant from Wakanda who's got super strength, but his super strength developed when he was a baby, I think. The character's name is Gentle, which is a great name for this character. And so he got vibranium tattoos meant to contain his strength and like restrain his body from getting out of control.
Huh.
And I thought that was kind of cool too.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. And I know it's like it's in D&D's Tasha's Cauldron for everything. It's magic items you can get. You can get magical tattoos.
There's Eldritch Claw tattoo is one of them, I think.
I don't know. But the tattoos that allow you to do cool stuff, basically, which is usually what it is. It's like tattoo. Here's a tattoo that gives you power.
Yeah.
I was resistant to this idea because I was like, I don't know what the fuck to talk about on magic tattoos. I don't like magic tattoos. I don't get it. I understand. But I was like, all right, I'll give in and we'll do it. And then within like 2 minutes, I was like, oh, there's actually a lot in here I really like. I have ideas already. How did that happen? And it's because sometimes like we can be resistant to an idea because we don't think it works with the way that we want to world build or the worlds we like building. I'm not drawn to body mods at all. Yeah. But I have had a good time doing those when we've done these episodes, which I guess is a testament to pushing yourself to add in elements or to explore elements in a world that you don't think belong, but you might find that's actually really good and would add something super valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the comfort zone idea, like does apply here too. It applies to everything in our lives. But I think in this particular realm, it's like your comfort zone might mean that you are depriving yourself of a very simple win in your world building because it's not an idea that you would normally think about.
No, I agree. I feel very similarly whenever you push for us to do a faction because my brain just doesn't immediately go to factions. Like like body mods, I like space magic, I like knightly orders, you know, like these are the things my mind goes to.
One of those is a faction.
Shut your dirty mouth. But my point still stands.
I shushed.
But my point still stands that whenever we start thinking of Assassin's Guild or Political Guild or anything like that, I end up having a lot of fun with it because it's
not your normal.
It's not my normal. And so I start, and it can feel when you're doing this that, oh, I need to stick to what I know.
Yeah. But that's not where you grow.
Exactly. And there's also something to be said for self-confidence. Like, oh, no, I actually, like, I don't think about factions because my brain tells me, oh, you don't do political interactions. You don't do drama. Like, you know, that's not my, I just don't think that's a skill I have. Even at work, I don't do politics. I'm known as the guy that speaks his mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And factions are all about interpolitical drama and politics. But then I start doing it. I'm like, oh, no, you actually can do this.
Yeah.
You might need some work on it, but you can do this. So it's about learning to trust yourself, too.
Yeah, trust fall.
Indeed.
Well, why don't you fall into my arms and tell
me. Your heavily tattooed arms?
I have no tattoos in my arms.
I don't either. Neither of us have tattoos, which is, well, I don't have a tattoo. I don't think you have a tattoo.
I have Popeye on my butt.
Oh, nice.
I don't have Popeye
on my butt. Both cheeks.
All right. Well, go ahead and give me your tease. What's your menu here?
When you wish upon a star.
Okay.
What is yours?
An ancient body of work.
Ooh. Ooh, I'm intrigued by that.
Why don't you go first?
I was going to say, you went first last time, so I'm going first this time.
No one will know which episode was before this one. You'll never know.
The mystery. Speaking of mysteries, this is an idea that I actually had for a Circle of Stars druid for D&D that I was building a while back, and then has since grown into its own world. This is a world where, you know, traditionally astrologers had a role where they would define, you know, read the stars both as maps and also to try and divine the future of, you know, of reality, right?
What's your star sign?
Yeah, what's your star sign? What does this mean for you? What does this mean for your future? Are we going to have a good harvest this year? Am I going to have a child this year? You know, you divine the stars. It was one of the many mechanisms for divination magic, right? In this world, it's one of many. Another one is that in ages past, there was a meteor that fell to Earth. And over time, it was discovered that this meteor, whatever the substance it was made of, responded to the pull of the moon and the pull of the stars. Astrologers eventually realized that through human touch, it actually was a more... Its readings could actually be more accurate than their readings of the stars from a distance. And so they began tattooing star maps onto their own bodies, which would change overnight. And they would react to the star, the changing of the celestial bodies, the movement of an alignment of the sky, stars, planets, moon. And so every day you wake up, and these tattoos made where the ink is made of this meteorite, they have changed. And so you as the astrologer have to divine the future, the events of the day, based on how your tattoos have changed overnight. The practice, the art, this form of magic, this form of divination actually is called astromentism. So astra, obviously.
Sounds like a drug.
It does. But then atrament is a more archaic word for ink. So astromentism.
Ask your doctor about AstraZeneca.
But this started with an idea for the stars druid, because I was like, you know, I always like the idea, you know, they have to have a star map. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of it being a tattoo, that you just tattoo a star map or constellation onto your body. But then started thinking, well, what if it also reacted and reflected the changes in the stars, and then started building this whole sort of divining order out of it? It's not a holy order of knights. It's like an order of sages, of mystics, of seers that a royal court would employ or have in their service. You know, they need an astromentist to help them foresee and predict the future.
Very cool.
But cool.
I think the meteor being used is fucking sick. Using that to do the tattoos, I think that's super cool. And I think you create then this like rare, like you've created an exclusive club.
Yeah.
Which works really well for something like this. And then you're on your way to making a faction, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So then like I think this is really cool. I think my thought, like, that I'm in my head now, based on what you said at the end there, is like, do they create an order and basically like very similar to in The Witcher with the sorceresses, the enclave, it's something close to that. Conclave.
It's not conclave. It's not college. Cottage. The cottage.
No. The cottage of sorcerers.
No, it's is it the college? The cottage?
No.
Cottage is not a word.
I feel like it's conclave. The lodge.
The lodge. Okay, so cottage was not far off, fucker.
Yeah, God. It was not far off. But you've created a similar thing to like the lodge in a way where it's like, oh, we have a special power and we will make ourselves available to all of the courts in the land.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest part, I think, of the Witcher world to me. Me too.
No, I'm saying I agree with you.
Oh, you said that after I said it's the coolest part of the world. You said me too. And I was like,
I am the coolest part of the Witcher world.
I was like, I don't know that you're. You.
No, but it is also my favorite. My favorite part of the world.
It's very cool. And my thinking here was that why wouldn't they use like if because if they're getting this data all the time about mm-hmm. the star charts changing every single day, they've got a great picture of what the stars are. I imagine they've created like one grand hall that is like a massive star map, like a 360 degree perfectly mapped out galaxy, and they know all the stars by just following by doing this. So then they can do more advanced predictions where they can divine months in advance.
I hadn't thought of that at all. I think that's really cool. I'm going to tweak it slightly because okay. I think from a temple perspective, yes, that the temple would probably have, I forget what there's a word for, you know, the model of the solar system that it's like a toy, like a mobile toy.
And
you put it, there's a word for it. I forget it too. But those are really, I think that you could have a massive one in there where they're sort of studying it and trying to use it and predict it. But remember in this, the reason it has to be a tattoo is because the physical touch, the touch of the human body, there's something there that helps improve the accuracy. That was why they're doing the tattoos in the first place. But imagine a giant creature that you could do, that you would have keep as a pet, like a giant tattooed elephant.
Poor elephants, man. They're just always living in captivity. You colonial motherfucker.
I have no counter to that.
No, but it's that, a good point, though.
Well done, but I have no counter argument to that jab.
So it's human touch, or it's like, so say.
Because I wanted to think of a way, like, why would they be doing the tattoos and not just using the ink on parchment or leather or paper?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That was the only thing. And that's probably something you can hand wave. I mean, I'm already hand waving it and just saying, oh, they discovered it works better through human touch. And that's why they did the tattoos. Like, I don't know why it works better. But you could even just hand wave that and say, oh, they didn't have anything else. They didn't have parchment, so they did tattoos.
Okay. So say, rewind. So we don't have to hand wave anything. Change up how it works, where it's they've tattooed it themselves because they are constantly on the move and they're concerned that like they're like on the run. They don't want people like they're super sought after for many reasons, and people could easily destroy anything if it wasn't tattooed to them. So they tattooed it themselves so that it is permanently available.
Dope. Perfect. I can imagine a church probably thinks they're heretics.
A church thinks they're heretics, but then I imagine the crown doesn't. But the crown doesn't want to piss off the church.
Yeah.
So it's they are secret advisors, or they are advisors who constantly
are. Secret advisors are fucking great. Yes, let's do that. I love that.
Or they wear like long sleeves, and mm-hmm. so they're openly advisors, but their role or whatever, their Astromenkus? What is it? AstraZeneca? What was it called again? I forgot.
AstraZeneca. Oh my God, AstraZeneca is so funny. Astromentists.
They're Astromentists. Or like their Astromentist status is hidden because they have it covered up. And you can do
it. Or it could be maybe they just have it on their palm, on the palm of their hand, and so they're just wearing gloves.
I think it's cooler if it's the forearm.
I think it is too. I'm coming up with options.
Yeah. Because I think giving yourself more space is nice, and it has a real sci-fi look to it. Like in Mass Effect where they pop up and they look at their Omni tool or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm going to look at my arm and then look at all the different tattoos.
Well, and imagine you could also see there's also ways if you do that to have them be on the run there. You could also have them be borderline a religious order themselves and have maybe the tattoos actually react differently to starlight and in different points. And so they're basically on the hunt, or there's every year there's an annual pilgrimage to the Aurora Borealis where they all come together and the northern lights or the equivalent in the world reflect off of the tattoos and create some grand image, some grand plan.
Okay. Let's go back to the big beast, the head of the order, the grand Astromenicus.
Astromentist.
Their entire body is tattooed.
I was thinking that too.
And they will like as a normal course of business walk around nude, so that everyone can look at the full map. And there was like a there was a strangeness to it. There is a sacredness as well that people from the outside would be like, what the fuck's happening here? Why is this guy nude, covered in tattoos, walking around, and everyone's like staring at him and like getting up close and like worshiping him in a way, but just like they're studying the star chart on him. Mm-hmm. People are like treating him like a normal person, I guess. They'd just be like, hey, George. They revere the tattoos.
Right.
And then you don't have to have the inhumane question of that. But you could also
agree with that.
Or you could also make them inhumane and have them tattoo a great beast. And then you have the question of like,
is it worth it?
Yeah, it's like science fucking does shit on animals all the time that they shouldn't be doing. So you could have it be a big elephant, mm-hmm, or a big whatever beast exists in your world that is tattooed to high heaven. Or you have just, you know, you just have the big room with the visuals of it, so you can see the whole place, and it's just kind of a vibe and letting you know all the stars are. I kind of like let you know what some of the options might be, but then you can't quite predict off that because, like you said, you need the touch. I don't know.
Well, that's part of the fun of it is figuring out does everyone's star chart say the same thing? Is it different? Like, there is some of the mystery to it there.
This is the real astrology vibes coming in right now.
But
does everyone's star chart say the same
thing? But there's also something fun about this because it harkens back. I was partially inspired by tattoos being at one point in time in society and still in different parts of the world today, a very important sacred ritual act, mm-hmm, right? Where in Maori culture, tattoos are massively important and can symbolize family lines. There's ritual scarification. There's old school ways of getting tattoos that are basically just almost pointillism on the body, right? That Buddhists go through, and it gets. I like that idea of it. End of sentence.
I think we should move on to my idea because you've perfectly transitioned us.
Oh, perfect. Then go, please, Kyle.
I was going to reference the Maori as an example.
Were you really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, you brought it up. Okay, well, that's good.
Do it.
That's the code word.
Perfect transition material.
So, I wanted to go fully culturally significant. Hmm. No powers are involved here.
Okay.
Everybody's getting tattoos with this ink that tells the histories of their people. It tells the histories of this person. It tells some kind of important story. And you get them over the course of your life, and it's an important ritual. Hmm. And you might not necessarily have a say on what's being tattooed on you because whatever story needs to be tattooed on somebody, it needs to be captured.
Hmm.
But this ink,
that's interesting.
This ink is a necrotic ink that will prevent your body from decaying even when you're dead, because they want to use your body's tattoos. That is how they capture the histories of the people on their people themselves.
Fuck yes.
So then we're bringing in a funeral rites element here too. Bring back the grand mausoleum. Absolutely. It's coming back.
Yep.
You have basically like a mausoleum full of the people of over the course. This isn't a huge culture. It can't be too big. And it's partly why they've done this is that they're capturing these stories on these people, and you can go through the histories and you can see these perfectly preserved bodies, and their faces will be covered.
Yeah.
So you don't, you know, so they're respecting the body, but they're also respecting their culture, so that you can see these perfectly preserved, like embalmed flesh, that is preserved, but you know, it is just as it always was because of the magical ink of this tattoo.
Yeah.
And you can read through the histories and their stories. You can see the scars of people who were in war and mm-hmm. whatever they went through. So you can see the story of the person and the story of the culture all together.
I love the link. You're creating a written language here too,
yes,
because you have to be very efficient. I mean, the human body is a big canvas, but it is limited.
I started this idea with, I love the idea of ancient language being preserved through tattoo.
Yeah.
Like, and I played around for a minute with the ideas of like, you know, people will get tattoos in Chinese, and then Chinese people are like, that's really, that's not what you think it
fried
says.
Rice.
Yeah, that's not actually a good, that doesn't say what you think it says.
Uh-huh.
And I love the idea of language being tattooed and thinking about that. And then I was like, well, what if it's instead the stories of the people? And they also, like, they have oral tradition, and then they have this,
mm-hmm,
and they might have additional, they might just have like fully like paper histories as well, but this is historically and culturally important, much like the Maori still get Maori tattoos today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're in a different world, and I don't understand Maori culture that much, but you know, like, there are, like, sometimes these cultural traditions you continue doing because they're culturally important, and this is a cultural tradition they continue to do because it's culturally important, not because they need to.
Right.
They once needed to do it to preserve their history, but now their history is fine. They've preserved it well enough, but they keep doing this because it's been married to their funeral rites.
Yeah.
So their funeral rites are this.
I'm in love with this idea.
I know you would.
Just keep talking. Just like, I just,
I'm kind of
just,
out of, I don't have much more to say about it, but I guess just to hammer in on, like, locking any idea into a funeral rite, make sure that it will be preserved for a very, very long time, because funeral rites don't shift very quickly, or if at all. We still have the same funeral rites we've had for thousands of years. We haven't come up with a whole bunch of new ones because whatever we have, they're the classics, mm-hmm. but also because they're culturally so baked in that right. nobody would, like, it would be sacrilegious, and it would be an insult to the dead to question why do we bury our dead this way.
I was thinking when you said sacrilegious, I was thinking there's so much about veneration and respect for the dead.
Yeah.
Like, that word respect, even if you believe in another world or you know, a godly power or not, it doesn't matter. You still, there is this kind of baked in concept of respecting the dead.
Yeah.
And hunters respecting a kill. And this is very much tied into it. This person in this society would also be one of the holiest people. And I don't mean holy in terms of, like, glowing, shining.
Which story? Which person?
The tattoo artist.
There's multiple. I'm not saying, there's not just one.
No, whoever it is.
It's an important role.
But the people that are doing it are considered very holy. And I'm thinking now of the people who, the sophers in Judaism, the scribes who write out the Torah scrolls, the level of training that they go through and the precision that they have to be able to exactly and accurately create and recreate the entire Torah scroll, the standards are so high that there is a degree of holiness to the sophers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That would be the same in this, this role.
I don't know if it's religious or not.
I'm not saying it's religious. I'm saying just the level of importance and sacredness to them.
I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm just saying I don't know that this is a religious act at all. And where I'm thinking of them is like almost like notaries. Like
nice.
Where it's like it is a specific public role. Like they are they're the registrar. They're the court stenographer. They're that job that everyone knows exists.
Yeah.
And they clear and they do a thing that, but they're not quite revered.
Yeah.
They're just like, yeah, it's respected. You know, no one's like, oh, what a bad job. I don't know. Like it holds such a strange role in society. But maybe it is more important than that. I don't know. Maybe it is the exact same role of tattoo artists are today. Except because, like, you know, the people who are like true artists at tattooing.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And then there's people who are just like, well, I make tattoos. Mm-hmm. And like they are the true artists of tattooing because regular tattoos. Well, no, I'm going to say regular tattoos are outlawed in this society. You are not to get a tattoo because you cannot waste the space of your body.
Right.
We are preserving that as a society.
Because you are part of the story and you need to, your job in this society is to preserve the story.
And if you get a regular tattoo or a tattoo that isn't that, they will never give you like the proper, you will never get the story tattoos and you will be, they will just burn your body. You don't get funeral rites.
Which is actually what happens if a sofer makes a mistake on a Torah scroll that they're scribing. You either have to bury it. You have to bury the entire scroll and start over. I think you can burn it too. I can't remember, but you have to do one of the two.
Before you start, I thought you were going to say you have to, like, they just killed the guy.
No, we're not.
We're going to punish you.
No, we're not. That's not us.
Yeah. So for those people who are like, I want to say who bring shame to the culture, who are great criminals or are traitors or who are who are a bad representation. I don't know what to do with them and whether or not they were tattooed and then now they have besmirched, you know, the good name of these people. Do they, in my head, if they are like, say you're like exiled, like, you know, even if you're like, you're found to be like, we exile you and or banish you, even though you're not here, they know what's tattooed on you, and they give the tattoos to the next person. So they replace you basically in the story, and they don't care what happens to you anymore. They won't give you the funeral rites, but they will make sure that your part of the story is captured, and you are like, you're expelled from the great book of our history.
Maybe there's something where it's in the art of tattooing, where instead of being needle and ink, they start to be represented by some form of ritual scarification. Like, no ink is used, and so it becomes...
No.
No?
I don't like that. I don't, because I don't, yeah, that feels more fucked up.
I was just thinking more of like a break in the normal story. It's like the rest of the story is being told with this ink, this necrotic ink. Oh, no, but this person is a break in the story.
Well no, because say that person is gone. Like, you can't go get their body back and be like, come back to us so we can ritually scar the story on you.
Oh, I see.
That's my point. Is like,
I see. So you're saying their chapter of the story. I see.
Yeah, yeah. So like, whatever was on you, we need to give it to the next person, and we don't care what happens to you. It's like, you know, or maybe that there is a ritual they can do that erases your tattoos. They're magic tattoos, and they could say, you have been. And because this could be a good moment, is that somebody who is heavily tattooed and they're in a foreign land and they have abandoned their culture and they're not well regarded for this reality. They're not coming back. And they all of a sudden see all their tattoos start to disappear and fade because their people have, and all of the court stenographers, all the tattooists got together and said, you know, like, and they were able to do some ritual with the approval of, you know, the leaders of these people, and then they are able to basically erase it because this is magical ink. They know how to get rid of it from remotely.
I really like that idea. It also made me think of every society, every religion has a forbidden text, a lost text, something in that realm, right?
Most do. Not every.
Not every. A lot do. You're out in the world. You're a member of this tribe. You have your story tattooed. Uh-huh. And you encounter another person who you think at first glance, looking at them, is from your tribe. And maybe they are. But you start reading their story. And this is a story that has never been told, that you have not encountered before or heard of. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's got some... It refers to a magic spell or a dark period in the people's history. And it's not that they've been banished. They needed to capture, because they did anything wrong, they needed to capture it for preservation, but then were exiled so that it wouldn't be part of the main story.
Interesting. That's kind of wild.
Like, imagine you're doing archaeology and you just, or someone who's buried away and you discover them, like, you know, they're always finding more Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
And you discover, again, this perfectly preserved body that covers an entire part of the history that has never been told.
Yeah. What a fucked up situation. But like, because I have mechanical questions, but that's like for the justice system of that tribe to be like, yeah, why is that person getting these tattoos and then being banished? That seems fucked up. Like, why would you even give them tattoos? Because then, like, can you get them back? Because then I'm thinking, what if you have the people who are just like a normal member of society who... They leave untattooed until the end of their life because they have earmarked one of these stories that they don't want told to them. And so that person lives their entire life where everyone knows you've been tagged to receive a bad story. So you will be untattooed until the end, and then like in your final days then they'll tattoo
then you receive it.
Yeah. And there is like a slight, like, there's like a, it's a sacred burden that they have to bear, and everyone, like, people make jokes about it, but people do respect that, like, someone has to do that job.
Yeah, no, and it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
And maybe they give them like temporary markings or like small tattoos that are regular-ish tattoos that can be erased, just to say you are special. You are doing the dirty work of our people by capturing the things we don't want captured,
like some form of body paint, war paint, something.
Yeah, you should not live in shame for your life because you are untattooed.
It's a purity thing. Like, you have proven there's a test for children, like, and you have it's proven to be a pure soul that can carry the weight of the special, of our shame.
The special people do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the tattoo artists themselves are the ones who bear that burden. They're the ones who live their whole lives untattooed, and they perfect over the course of lives, given the tattoo, and then they tattoo themselves at the end.
As their final act.
As, like, in the end. That's like when they retire.
I love that.
Then they tattoo these stories on themselves with extra precision, because they also want to do, they want to capture more info, because they need to get more of those stories done. So they put all the negatives on, because then they can basically decrease the font size and do it really intricately. And it takes a lot longer. And then so they are like, if you go to the grand mausoleum that these guys are in now, they're the secret section, the restricted section
of the library.
Of the library.
Yeah.
Where it's like, but it's not even restricted. It's like, you can go in here, but like,
just be aware.
These aren't the stories that we want to tell.
Yeah.
These are stories that we need to capture, and people do read these, but they're not positive, and they're often the great shame of our society.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're evil or whatever. I don't know.
No, I love this whole, this is the same thing when I mentioned in, I think it was the Harvest Deities episode, the harvesting of light. And you said, oh, suddenly this is not just a thing that exists in isolation. There's a whole world here.
Yeah, this is a story.
This is very similar. Suddenly there's a story here. This isn't just a fact. Like, I made a great faction with mine, but there's suddenly, like, my mind is going places here.
Yeah.
I love it. Teetering on the abyss of imagination.
Bada boom.
Ding.
Oh, we're done with that? Okay, we're moving on to Frozen Lasagna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ding.
A tattoo artist who is a lich and no one knows it. It is it's just Greg, who's a tattoo artist, who is tattooing onto people, making them his phylacteries.
That's awesome.
So, like, he's tattooing runes blended in with other tattoos. He's able to, like, hide within, oh, you're getting the picture of a lion, but he's actually put in there a rune and then put ink over it, so you can't actually see it. But that rune was made with magical ink, so that you are now a phylactery and you'll never know.
The ink is his blood.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And so he does that with a bunch of people. So now there's just there are hundreds of people walking around the world who are unknowing phylacteries of the Lich Greg.
I adore it. I think that reminds me a little bit of Asterion in Baldur's Gate, where his tattoo on the back was part of a ritual.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
What's yours? Ding.
Magic tattoo. These are tattoos that are actually used to punish magic users that break the law, because they block the use of magic. So it is the opposite. They are not tattoos that grant magical abilities.
They are blockers.
They block it. So if you are a magic user, it doesn't matter where it is. You're a wizard, sorcerer. It doesn't matter. You are cut off from the source of magic because of these tattoos on your body. It can be one. I don't know how many there are, but it is. So it is a form of punishment, and public punishment as well. In a magical society, the worst thing that you could be is cut off from magic. Yeah.
I'm gonna break the rule for a quick second and just say it's really cool. Then you would have the macabre moments of when they're cutting off their own limbs so they can use magic again. Okay, we're back on rules.
What's up for you, Kyle? We're back on track.
My entire idea.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
I love it.
And I think I liked it going in. I liked it more as we discussed it.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good idea. I think, like you said, it's like it comes as it's a world. It's fleshed out to be a world.
Mm-hmm.
I think we really found something.
Or a culture, even. Not even a whole world, but just like
it's an important culture within a world, and you can tell a story about that culture within a grander world.
Right.
But you can plug it in whatever. The I think we really hit on something super cool with the what do you do with the bad stories that people don't want to tell. And I think that the idea of having the people be untattooed for their entire lives only to get the tattoos in their final days is a really good note, and that is like, that is a privilege. Yeah.
And it's some sort of purity. Signal of your purity that you are going untattooed, and then you are your own final masterpiece. Yeah. All the tattoos that you have done to tell other people's stories and their role in society was training for you.
Yes. And so it's like that is a very sacrificial job.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I really like it a lot. I think I also just, what's interesting to me is that I like this topic as a whole. I think every idea we talked about here was good. Mm-hmm. I liked both of my ideas a lot coming into it. It was like, you know, I had good ideas. I liked your ideas. I think they're really cool. It's like a thing that I normally wouldn't care about. I really had a good time. So like I said at the top, I say it again here. Broaden your horizon.
Right. Yeah.
All right. What's up for you?
It's one of the reasons why I always say for me at least, I find myself being more creative when I am more constrained.
Yeah, that's not you. That's most people.
But there are some people that are not, that are more open.
You can't put me in a box, man.
Absolutely. But I am better.
Yeah, but a lot of people are very good at like here are the narrow constraints. I think it's easier when the constraints. The point you may be making here is that it's the constraint of I don't know that I have anything for this. I don't think this is my bread and butter. Even though if it's narrow enough, it's just like, well, I don't play in this sandbox. So, what am I going to do? And then you're like, oh, I never played in the sandbox before, so I don't actually have preconceived ideas. Mm-hmm. I go in full, you know, carte blanche.
Completely. Right. And then maybe discover something new and fun with it, which is sort of what I mean, your idea stuck for me, broad strokes. Like that's going to be what I remember. But for me, it's what I started thinking about and how I got to my idea was going through all of the different ways of what makes a magic tattoo. I'm like, okay, is it the artist that's magic? Is it the material? The ink that's magic? Is it the needle that's magic? Is it the subject or the art itself? Are you tattooing runes? Like, what is this? And so starting to think through how I could combine and play with all of those different ideas was how I got to the star map and the idea of the meteor and creating this very esoteric culture that is constantly changing and moving just in the way that the stars are. So, I mean, I think this is something that I will draw on for later, but is not because I think it's a cool idea for a specific person or a specific faction, but it is not the same. It doesn't have the same storytelling implications that yours does. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Mine is cool.
Yeah.
No doubt. But it's not quite.
You can plug it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.